It's a drizzly day as Joe Nelson motors his little boat out of a harbor near Juneau. Nelson is a hunter and fisherman, and we're out for a harvest. But this is actually a business trip. Nelson chairs the board of the native-owned Sea Alaska, one of Alaska's largest corporations, which has set its sights on kelp.
But there's right like some float.
The birds are and things?
Yeah.
I think it might be, you know.
Yeah, that looks kind of kelpy.
Once Nelson gets us into a thick patch of kelp, we walk back to the stern to pull some up and drop it into a cooler.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they are attached. So you just broke it. There we go.
Wild.
Nelson grew up in the coastal town of Yakutat, harvesting other kinds of seaweed, but not kelp, which, with its deep, dark stem and leafy fronds, looks kind of alien.
I wouldn't have thought to eat it. So it's actually a pretty cool find as far as getting this into the mass market here and realizing it actually tastes pretty good.
Sea Alaska, Nelson's company, has a master plan for kelp. And when we head back to shore, we're going to hear about it. But before we get there, we need to take a detour to Sea Alaska's downtown Juneau boardroom to understand how the company got there. That's where we find Sea Alaska's chief executive, Anthony Malott. Malott, like Nelson, is Tlingit and grew up in Yakutat, but his professional background is in decidedly urban realms of finance and investing. And he says that when he started working at Sea Alaska, its leaders and the leaders of other native regional corporations had spent decades leaning away from their culture.
There was a pretty heavy mantra that your fiduciary duty just to make money, don't let the community stuff or the value stuff get in that way, or you may risk foregoing your fiduciary duty. We called it hiding behind the fiduciary shield.
Since Sea Alaska's creation in 1972, following the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, its experience with capitalism could best be described as mixed. It invested in and divested itself from a string of businesses that didn't really stick, including a plastics company that made Brita water containers and caps for jugs of Tide detergent.
We had Alaska Brick Company, we had a tow company, logistics company. I mean, you could go down the history list. We never had the right formula to grow and create the economic value from those businesses that we needed.
Sea Alaska did have one business that consistently made money, but it was polarizing: commercial timber harvesting. Many shareholders supported logging, but many shareholders opposed it because of clear cutting's impacts on subsistence hunting and salmon harvesting. A few years into Malott's career at Sea Alaska, the corporation was running out of timber to cut. Its other subsidiaries were running into serious problems. And in 2013, cost overruns at a construction project caused huge losses. Sea Alaska decided to sell nearly all of its businesses.
It was a financial crisis
that
gave us full mandate to make significant change.
This was the point when Sea Alaska leaders really began bringing indigenous values into the boardroom, starting with developing a vision around Ha'ani, their ancestral homelands. Ultimately, the corporation reorganized its businesses around an ocean health theme, which leaders say reflects their growing awareness of the threats posed by climate change. Nelson, the board chairman, says Sea Alaska realized it had to invest in things its shareholders and leaders cared about and were interested in, and describes the new approach in opposite terms from the old one. The old one, he says, was thinking,
we're going to be indigenous culture bearers, you know, on the weekends, but from Monday to Friday, we're going to be in the boardroom doing business, capitalists, and separating those things. And you really shouldn't separate those two things.
One of Sea Alaska's first investments under this new way of thinking was in seafood, an industry that leaders say is both relevant and meaningful to them. And the corporation has made other moves away from traditional natural resource extraction. In the past few years, Sea Alaska has been paid more than $100 million to keep its timber unharvested for use as carbon offsets. And earlier this year, it announced it's getting out of the old growth logging business altogether. And that takes us back to kelp, which means heading down the road a few miles to an anonymous looking warehouse.
Probably a beard net for you. Beard net can go under your mask.
That's Leah Heifetz, one of the founders of Barnacle Foods, the startup that runs this industrial sized kitchen, which, by the way, is perfumed with the smell of minced garlic and fermented serrano peppers.
Yes, we're making serrano bull whip, so hot sauce today. Gonna spend the next hour getting everything in the kettle and then heat it up and then we'll jar.
The main ingredient in this hot sauce is, as you might have guessed by now, bull kelp. Heifetz and her business partners have built Barnacle from a tiny homegrown company into a commercial scale enterprise based largely on selling kelp-based foods like salsas and pickles. This year, it's set to sell something like $1 million in products. Matt Kern is Heifetz's partner and co-founder.
So we've more or less doubled or tripled our production and sales every year since starting the business back in 2016 at the little farmer's market.
With the company growing so quickly, Barnacle wanted an investor. And guess who's at the top of the list?
This idea of, you know, sharing this company and the vision for this region with Sea Alaska and to be owned by 25,000 shareholders was like the most ideal scenario in our minds.
The deal for a minority stake in Barnacle wasn't a slam dunk. The company is smaller scale than most of Sea Alaska's investments, but Sea Alaska leaders say they were sold on the potential for Barnacle to hire native shareholders. And it didn't hurt that they really liked eating the salsa too. Here's Nelson.
If you just contrast this product, which you will find in all the stores and in my cupboards and in my refrigerator, with the products we were involved in the late 90s, Philly cream cheese cups and Tide bottle caps, I would say there's a definite contrast and different sense of affinity for, you know, the type of business we're in. And say, yeah, you know, this salsa and this hot sauce, it's actually pretty darn good.
Sea Alaska's transition into climate-friendly industries like kelp and carbon credits has drawn enthusiasm, particularly from younger shareholders. But the corporation still faces deep skepticism from some of its older shareholders, many of whom were alienated by the corporation's decades of cutting down old-growth timber. Sea Alaska leaders say their evolution is far from done. They're now drafting a 100-year plan and putting millions into a trust fund aimed at building a post-logging economy for Southeast Alaska. If the corporation is now Sea Alaska 2.0, Nelson says they're still trying to envision Sea Alaska 3.0. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.